Mike Gallagher.
Senate Republicans are going to unveil the revised version of the health care bill. And got a little scoop because one of the intrepid reporters for the Washington Examiner, Kimberly Leonard, who is senior health care reporter for the Examiner, got her hands on the revisions. She's covered health care for U.S. News and World Report, where she wrote extensively about the implementation of Obamacare, a lot of social issues in medicine. She's a terrific guest to bring into the equation today and give you a peek at what this is going to look like. Hi, Kimberly. Thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. The health care thing, there's a lot of people, and I've got a pretty good sense, I think, of the pulse of the American people. A farmer in Iowa, his eyes sort of glaze over when he gets into the nitty-gritty details of the back and forth on the tenets of Obamacare. Rand Paul was on the show this week. He's clearly opposed to these revisions. Can you sort of walk us through, in layman's terms, out of the weeds maybe a little bit, what these changes look like, the pros, the cons, and sort of give us a primer on the Republican health care bill 2.0.
Sure. Well, this is the second draft that Republicans have put forward, and they haven't publicly released the text yet. That comes later on in the day. What we do know is that they're keeping taxes that were created under Obamacare on high-income earners. Now, that was not something that was in the original bill, but they received a lot of criticism from Democrats who said, why are you cutting from Medicaid and then giving taxes, repealing these taxes to the wealthy? So I think part of that may be that they're trying to brush back some of the criticism that they've received.
Is there specificity of how they define wealthy in this?
Sure. Well, executives from insurance companies, people who earn extremely high incomes, six-figure, $200,000 over that. And so they initially, under Obamacare, they are taxed a portion of their income to help pay for health insurance for lower-income people. And so under the current draft, you see those are kept in place. Now, of course, more conservative Republicans are very much against this, but centrist members were really the ones to propose it.
So right. And this is that threading the needle and trying to keep all factions on board. Yeah, it's one of the great pushbacks, the sort of the class warfare and the income resentment and all of that. Even in your, very analytical way of reciting this, $200,000 to a business owner in the Midwest who has 15 people on the payroll, our side at least cringes when we hear the wealthy, the 200,000 plus, they need to pay for those who aren't working and those who are disadvantaged and poor. And there's a lot of people making $200,000 a year, Kimberly, who say I'm not wealthy. It's not wealth. You know what I mean? It's there's just a Republican pushback typically to a centerpiece of progressives' arguments for redistributing the redistribution of wealth.
Right. And another argument that and I think both parties would agree with is that those who are receiving subsidies under Obamacare structure in order to pay for private plans are not wealthy at all. They're making less than $48,000 a year for an individual. And so in order to even qualify for some of these plans, your income has to be fairly low. And, just because someone is an individual doesn't mean that they don't have a lot of other expenses to consider. There could be housing payments, student loans, and things like that. So you have a lot of members of the middle class who have said that even though these plans might be more robust than prior to the Affordable Care Act, they feel that the payments they're making are just unaffordable. And, of course, that goes beyond that, we have higher deductibles and other aspects that make healthcare coverage very much more expensive for these different groups.
One of the difficulties is wading through the world of Medicaid and understanding that Medicaid has been greatly expanded over the last 8 years, and there's been a great deal of debate over able-bodied people and people who one believes would never originally be intended for the benefits of Medicaid. Kind of take us through that whole chapter, because that's been a tough battle too.
Sure, we don't have a consensus politically, even within the Republican Party. Democrats are a little bit more aligned on this, but within the Republican Party, there's no consensus as to who, quote, deserves Medicaid coverage. Before Obamacare, it used to be that states would just decide. They would say, okay, it goes to pregnant women, it goes to people with disabilities. Under Obamacare, states said, all right, if you make up to a certain amount of money, less than about $12,000 a year, then you automatically qualify for Medicaid. And so for people who might be caregivers who have to give up work, care for an older adult, it's been a big help. There's some concern that among Republicans in particular, that some of these people are choosing not to work in order to receive Medicaid for free. But you also have to make, again, so little money in order to do that. Right. Not every state expanded Medicaid. And under the Republican plan, Medicaid expansion would be repealed. And that is a big sticking point for centrist Republicans whose states have really benefited from additional federal funding.
You know, it sounds to me like it's the moderates, it's the centrist Republicans, as you put it, who are the important category here to try to get this thing accomplished. But you've got a lot of pushback from conservative Republicans, right? I mean, these are the factions that are butting heads over all this.
Absolutely. And going over to the conservatives, because I know we've talked a little bit more about centrists so far. Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Mike Lee had created an amendment that would have allowed health insurance companies to sell plans that have fewer medical benefits. And they could do that as long as they sold one plan that included all the benefits that you see under Obamacare. So things like maternity care, things like addiction coverage, medication, hospitalization, really a whole wide range of benefits. They received a lot of criticism from opponents who said, well, if that's the case, then you would only have sick people signing up for the more expensive plans. And wouldn't that mean that those plans are so much more pricey? What we're seeing in the draft today is that exact amendment wasn't exactly included, but it does seem like there's some similar language in it. What they would do is that the more expensive plans would be heavily tax subsidized, and then the plans that offer fewer benefits would not include those tax subsidies from the federal government. So they would be cheaper, but the people wouldn't get help paying for them.
So, Kimberly Leonard is with us. She's senior healthcare reporter for the Washington Examiner. I recently went through a car leasing experience, and I was reminded, because it's been a number of years since I live in New York. I take Uber everywhere or whatever and take trains, but going through the car, it's hard to compare healthcare with car insurance, but I was reminded that you can have minimum coverage on a car, or you could expand your coverages and go as high as you want, basically. Let's talk about the bare bones coverages that this plan allows people to have. It's sort of the same concept, right?
Right. So the sort of pre-Obamacare concept of having catastrophic plan, where if you were to get into a car accident, you would at least have some sort of basic coverage in place.
Minimum coverages.
That's right. And there are Americans who say that they want that. I've had people crying to me on the phone saying, why can't I have this plan anymore? Why am I being forced to buy a plan that has so many more things? And I certainly understand where they're coming from. The argument that has been made from those who would say the plan should be more robust is that one of the things about getting sick is that you never know when it's going to happen, and you never know what kind of illness you could get and how expensive it will be. People my age in their early 30s suddenly get cancer and have to have treatment for that. So it's hard to know what to expect. And so in cases where something like that might happen, people might be happy that they have more robust coverage.
But to the point, it's not a mandate. It's up to the individual.
Well, in the GOP healthcare plan, it would be.
Right. And I mean which is the seismic shift. I mean, when you go from a mandate that says you're required to have healthcare insurance or you face a fine and you're doing something wrong, back to the very American premise, I believe, of you can have the coverage you want and you get to make that decision. If you want to have bare bones coverage, if you're in a place in life where you're comfortable with bare bones insurance coverage under the Republican plan, that's an option. That was not the case with Obamacare, right?
Well, sure. The thing is, though, that even though people might have bare bones coverage, what they end up paying for, let's say something occurs in their life where they go to the hospital, they need treatment, hospitals will find a way and healthcare providers will find a way to recoup that coverage in some way, whether it means charging higher rates to everyone else that comes through their doors, whether it means that the state then supplements to hospital payments in order to make up for that. So even though people might make these choices, the money will come from someplace in order to recoup them. And the question would be then, what is the most efficient way to do this so that it's distributed in a way that's equitable, and so that, you know, perhaps your health insurance coverage doesn't cost more than your mortgage.
Right, right. It's going to be an interesting day. What sort of short term, long term? What does your gut tell you the way this unfolds? I mean, this gets unveiled. Lots of pushback from those who don't want to touch Obamacare, you think?
There will be pushback from both parties, or from both parts of the party, because conservatives will look at this and say, I thought we were repealing Obamacare. This looks very much like Obamacare Lite. And there are already some members who are saying that. As far as the Medicaid cuts go, it's very hard to see centrists get on board with those. They have called for completely taking Medicaid changes off the table.
Kimberly Leonard, we appreciate your perspective, and you've helped us sort of walk us through this developing story quite aptly, and I appreciate your input very much. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you.